That the zombie is ubiquitous in popular culture cannot be disputed. From popular literature and comic books to video games and performance art, in smartphone applications and in homemade films, zombies are all around us. Perhaps we can say with certainty that the zombie is more popular now than ever before. It has even seemed to have crashed the boundaries of narrative and stepped into real life. Newspapers are full of stories of large-scale games of zombie tag, of zombie proms, of zombie warnings posted on road signs by cheeky hackers. This transgression from the screen to the street is but one of the many types of zombie evolution that is upon us. Discourse in contemporary popular culture concerning zombie mythology is colored by George Romero's fusion of the zombie with the ghoul in his monumental film Night of the Living Dead in 1968. Nearly every film made after Romero's first sequel to Night, Dawn of the Dead, 1978, can be linked back to Romero's characterization of the zombie, and it is quite difficult to find a zombie novel or short story released after Romero's third film in his zombie series, Day of the Dead, 1985, that does not follow the director's lead. It is not surprising, then, that contemporary discussions of the zombie often ground themselves in Romero's vision and begin their examinations during the period Peter Dendel labels the Golden Age. That we learn from the study Better Off Dead, The Evolution of the Zombie as Post-Human by Sarah Lauro and Deborah Christie. We're invited to revisit that Golden Age as the Pennsylvania Theater of Performing Arts presents a stage adaptation of Night of the Living Dead this weekend and next at the J.J. Ferrara Center in downtown Hazleton. Director John Sugard and actors Donna Wojtek and Jessica Werben paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about the show.
The original Night of the Living Dead, 49 years old, maybe we should have waited a year and done it on the 50th anniversary of the film. Recently deceased bodies start getting up, walking around and attacking living people and eating them. So some people barricade themselves inside a little farmhouse, and as the farmhouse gets surrounded by more and more walking dead, hilarity ensues.
Was this really one of the first forays into our imagination of the zombie?
I don't think it's the very first, but this film is certainly the one that popularized the idea. So almost every zombie movie is based on this one in some way, and I think they all have an umbilical cord to it.
Then it rose again in a stage version.
All I really know about the stage version is the adaptation was done by a theater company out in Erie, and it got picked up by Dramatic Publishing, and it's just there for anyone who wants it. I had the script in my possession for many years before the first time I got to do it. This is the second time I'm doing it. And I wanted to do it for ages.
Is it a send-up of the film, or is it a retelling?
This is as close to the original film as the stage will allow. This is not a send-up. I understand there is a script that is, but we are not doing a send-up. This is Night of the Living Dead, and we are trying to frighten you.
And how does Barbara figure in the story?
Barbara, we see her early on, and we see her brother getting attacked by one of these creatures. So she gets traumatized by that experience. And then she's the one who is in the farmhouse with these other people.
As the encircling takes place.
Correct.
And Jessica?
I play Helen Cooper. I, myself, my husband, Harry, and our child, Karen, are hiding in the basement when Barbara arrives. We've already discovered the farmhouse and are already in hiding.
And how many other potential victims?
There's a total of six people in the house.
Seven.
Yeah, I was just thinking counting Karen, Karen the daughter. So there's Barbara and the Cooper family. There's a young boyfriend and girlfriend named Tom and Judy, who were the first ones to get to the farmhouse when they heard on the radio they should find somewhere to hide. And then after Barbara arrives, a fellow arrives named Ben. And then it is just watching what happens between them and their interactions in the house.
That makes it the human story, right?
It is, I think. Especially this specific story. We've been avoiding the word zombie, partly because it doesn't appear anywhere in the script. But as opposed to a lot of other zombie stories, which tend to focus more on the zombies themselves and all of that, this really is about the people. And all of the characters are very well written and well drawn, identifiable people. And that's what makes this such a powerful story.
When do you emerge from the basement and meet Barbara?
Eventually, my husband goes upstairs and meets both Ben and Barbara. And eventually, they call me upstairs once he says, it's safe for you to come up.
And you are pleased with meeting the Coopers?
Barbara actually goes into a bit of a catatonic state from the shock, so she actually has very little interactions with the rest of the hideouts.
And do we know where we are or when we are, or is it an unnamed locale at an unnamed time?
No, I think that the setting is Western Pennsylvania, out in the country. I don't think they get much more specific than that. And this play still takes place in the late 60s. And there are a couple facets of the story that date it and make it a period piece. No one's carrying a cell phone to call for help. So the first thing people do when they walk in the house is pick up the telephone and dial 0 for the operator and discover the phone is dead. So there's a lot of little details that make this show a show that took place in the past as opposed to now.
Often science fiction and fantasy pieces have some commentary on the cultural situation. Is this the kind of piece that might have been making allusion to the potential of nuclear war, or is it just a good, scary story?
I think it's just a good, scary story. Because if it had any commentary, it would have been rooted in the late 60s, and I don't even think they were looking to make commentary at the time. So this is not as politicized or social commentary. I think it's more a comment on what people become when you subject them to enough stress. And in that respect, is part of what makes this such a compelling play for me and why I like doing it and have wanted to do it, is for the performers, this is a side of humanity they really don't get to portray all that often, especially not in local theater. Plays just don't go where this one goes.
Do you feel that to be the case?
Oh, absolutely. This is not my genre. I can tell you that right now. Horror is definitely not the thing I like, but being able to portray it and be in the show has really grown on me. I was not excited at very first, but being in it and being able to delve into the character and delve into the relationships between the people has really made it interesting for me.
How are you finding it, Barbara? Catatonic though you may be.
Yeah, similar. I'm not a big horror movie fan, but I enjoy acting in it. The other thing is, John's right, we don't actually get to experience a zombie takeover, but for me, like, I have a fear of spiders. So for me to get into that mindset, I'm thinking more that spiders are around me to get into that frame of mind that I think the zombies would put me into.
That's the creepiness of...
Yeah, that's my catalyst fear.
What are the things that you feel you need to do as a director to make sure that they are in a context that brings this play to its fulfillment?
This one is an interesting challenge as opposed to most of the other shows we do, because the main focus for me as a director is to make sure not just that all of the performers understand motivations and feelings, which is standard, but making sure everything is as natural as possible and as believable as possible. Because even though 50 years removed from this film, you say the word zombie and everybody knows immediately what you mean. Maybe some of the details are different, but we all know what a zombie is. And even in that context, it's kind of a fantastic premise. And part of what makes it work is when all of these potential victims, all of these people, are as real and as natural and as human as possible, so that the audience invests in them as people and not just characters on the stage. The other interesting experience as a director doing this is working with the people who will be portraying zombies. I've always felt like, I don't know how I'm suddenly an expert on being dead, but I have to tell people how to be dead and how to make sure their movements are wrong in some way, so they're not just walking like normal people. Because I think it's important to portray the idea that these are animated corpses, essentially, without makeup. I have to be able to know they're zombies if they're not made up at all. And then, when we do make them up, it's an enhancement, but you can't depend on that sort of thing to create your character for you.
It feels like a horde.
Yeah. You see a couple more, and then you see a couple more, and then you see a couple more.
I was going to say the amount of zombies keeps growing throughout the show, so by the end of it, you're kind of swarmed with zombies.
You talk about a farmhouse, and you're in the cellar and all of that. The idea is to keep the space small so the pressure builds too, right? The suspense in that way.
So yeah, the set looks very claustrophobic when everyone is in a single room. One of the things I like about doing this on stage, since we're talking about the set, is how in the film, the camera tells you where you're going to look. And so the camera puts you in a specific room or in the cellar or outside. Well, now on stage, once we leave that initial setting, that initial graveyard, the house, the cellar, and outside the house are visible all the time. So the minute Barbara walks into the house, there's the Coopers, there's Karen on the table, there's Tom and Judy down in the cellar. And we get to watch them to react to the noises they hear upstairs, which is something you didn't get to see in the film. There's some sequences where, you know, the radio is playing, and while not a lot of people are moving, we can see the outside of the house, and we see the zombies wandering around outside at the same time. Just as atmosphere, it's wonderful.
As an actor, for most of us, we don't leave the stage for a very long time, so we have to create business, and like John said, the reactions, we have to be aware of our movement and everything, because we can be seen for a very long time, so we don't get to go off stage and rest and get our bearings. Once you hit the stage, you're constantly thinking about your character and how your character's reacting and all that sort of thing.
What about the child? Is that an important factor to have a young person in the mix?
I think so. I mean, there's a wide range of ages. I mean, you have your teenagers, you have the child, you have the parents, you have the sister-brother relationship, you have the single guy who's on his own. So you get to see how this affects quite a large variety of people.
I mean, we all feel for the poor girl playing the hurt child, because she doesn't do much. She just lies there for a long time. But she's still important to the story, and her being there is important, too, to the presentation.
You mentioned radio and the phone and ancillary things like that, and then just the noises as Barbara comes in and you're down below and you're hearing that. Have you conceived a soundscape for this piece in any way?
Yeah, there are several sequences where we play some background music. The first time I did this, I spent some time just trying to convince of sounds for the radiation from the Venus probe, which is what supposedly caused all the bodies to get up and start walking around. So there's a soundscape to it. I feel just as a director, you have to be careful not to overuse that kind of background. A lot of this works better in that silence where we're just hearing voices.
If we have seen the film, you're probably drawing us in and we're forgetting that we know the story, when maybe know how the movie ends and that sort of thing. Is that a worry?
I'm not concerned about it for a number of reasons. One is people who know the film, there's a lot of people like me who really love the film. And even knowing the whole story isn't going to stop them from coming to see the show, because you're there to experience it again. And you're there to experience this story you love in a new way. So I'm not too worried about that. I mean, yeah, there are people who come to see this who haven't seen it and don't know how this specific story ends. But the people who know the film by heart, if they love it enough to know it by heart, they're going to want to experience it this way on a live stage. This packs a real wallop when you come see it.
Do you find your own flesh creeping a little bit as you're rehearsing?
Oh, yes.
All the time.
I sit near a wall where we have our zombie zone, so I can hear the zombies walking behind the wall behind me, so that really helps give me some motivation to be very frightened.
Even when I can't hear them, I know they're there, and I literally just sit there going, the one time during rehearsal, I was sitting with my back to them. And one of them must have stopped behind me because I literally said, I know he's behind me. I know he's looking at me. This is creeping me out. And I got up and walked away. I was so creeped out by it.
The energy is there.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah. We should point out, in fact, as a word of warning, there are gunshots fired. There are, because it's Night of the Living Dead, there are scenes of extremely graphic violence. You know, people should be warned. I have a feeling, though, most people who come to see it, they know Night of the Living Dead. That's part of what they're there to see. And I felt last time around there were a lot of audience wanted to see how we were going to do certain things. You know, how are they going to do that on a stage? Mm-hmm. Well, there's ways.
Right.
Come and see.
If you have an interest. And what did people say to you after that first go-round? What did you hear from the audience members?
People loved it.
I was an audience member the first time, and I watched pretty much the second half of it through my fingers. Literally through my fingers or looking at the wall. Scared the pants off of me.
I don't know whether it's good to bring up food or not at this point.
We have been laughing that this is quite the production to do as dinner theater, but it is still a dinner theater, and once again, I always say it when I work at PTPA, come for the food. The food is amazing. If you're going to do dinner in a show anyway, the food here is extremely good, and then you don't have to get up and worry about getting to the theater on time because you're there. So absolutely take advantage of the dinner.
Where do we find you and when?
Night of Living Dead is at the Pennsylvania Theater of Performing Arts, 212 West Broad Street, Hazleton, Pennsylvania. We open on October 13th, and we run through the 22nd. Shows on Fridays and Saturdays are at 7 p.m. Shows on Sundays are at 3. The dinner buffet is available 90 minutes before the show.
When you leave the studio, you're on your way to rehearsal, but you have a stop, you said, to make so that you can pick up some items to create some special effects. So all of this is coming together as you prepare to open.
Designing special effects and executing them are fun, and they are part of the storytelling process, but they don't carry the story for you. So I am thrilled watching these rehearsals, watching the cast come together, and that is, I think, where I want to leave you. This is going to be an amazing production. It's going to be a very powerful show. And if you know Night of the Living Dead, we won't disappoint you. And if you don't, you're really going to enjoy the experience.
Director John Sugart and actors Donna Wojtek and Jessica Holm-Werben speaking with us about the Pennsylvania Theater of Performing Arts production of the stage adaptation of Night of the Living Dead this weekend and next at the J.J. Ferrara Center in downtown Hazleton, 212 West Broad Street. That's October 13th, 14th, 20th, and 21st, Fridays and Saturdays at 7, and then October 15th and 22nd at 3, a matinee at 3 on Sundays. For reservations or information on the web, ptpashows.org, ptpashows.org. A dinner buffet is available 90 minutes prior to the curtain. And again, they remind us that the production is not suitable for all audiences. The production takes place October 13th, 14th, 20th, and 21st, Fridays and Saturdays this weekend and next at 7 in the evening, and then again Sundays the 15th and 22nd at 3 at the J.J. Ferrara Center, 212 West Broad Street in Hazleton, presented by the Pennsylvania Theater of Performing Arts. For more information on the web, ptpashows.org, ptpashows.org.